Kai Vada glanced around the table at the captains crowded into her office. It still felt a little unreal, but here they were, all waiting for her to say something. Argelos and Pettigrew, there from the beginning. Yamini, who had been Argelos's military advisor, and who now captained the stealth observer they'd captured from the pirates. Ransom and Baskerville, the two surviving captains of Ransom's Rangers. Major Douglas of Mackensy Military Assistance Corporation, assigned as M. Mac's liaison to her. His assistant, Master Sergeant Callie Pitt, seemed quite at ease standing in a corner.
Our main problem, as I see it, is that we're always reacting to Turek. We don't know much about him, what his goals are, besides killing people and getting power. And we can't understand any of the transmissions we've overheard. We've got to find a way to get better intel.
Major Douglas smiled at Kai.
Mackensy might share data with you if you don't mind me butting in.
I don't mind. Before we go into jump, would you like to ask them about that?
You particularly want information about their language and any history anyone can dig up, is that right?
Oh, I wouldn't mind knowing where they are right now, where they're going next, and in what force.
If we knew that, we'd be hauling mass. All of us. And I can ask if any of our linguists know the language. You gave them copies of the transmissions, right?
I did, yes. And another thing. I know I need a staff structure. We talked about that before, but with over 40 ships to command, I need something now, before we get to Cascadia.
Think any of those privateers will give you trouble?
Kai was mildly amused that Argelos, a former privateer himself, no longer considered himself one of them.
I doubt it. Aunt Grace sent them. She'd have checked them out.
You don't just need a staff, you need a combat control center. You can't command 40 ships from the bridge on this ship. It's too crowded. And it doesn't have the right communication set up. Your shipboard ansibles are an incredible advance, but they can't do everything, and they're bulky.
My office...
isn't adequate.
Yamini nodded at Douglas.
I agree with Major Douglas. Running the additional communications cables in here would be next to impossible, and they must be shielded cables. You're talking over 40 ships now, and maybe more if the Moscow Confederation sent ships from Cascadia. That's a lot of equipment, not just for communications, but also for scan, if you're to have the data you need during a battle. I don't know how you'd get one in this ship. You'd have to practically rebuild it, I'd think. But then you've told us it needs serious work anyway.
On our ships, the CCC is built in when the hulls are laid. But I understand that some systems have modular CCCs that can be retrofitted to vessels. We don't, but maybe they can do that at Cascadia.
Before we go into FTL, we should ask Stella about that.
Kai added another line to the list in her implant. A long list, now. Since she had heard about the Slaughter Key privateers on their way to Cascadia, turned down Mackensy's offer of a commission, and accepted the suggestion of a liaison to travel with her. In a few short hours, her little group would leave the Mackensy headquarters world and head for Cascadia Station. And she would have to be ready when they arrived, to take charge in reality as the commander she had hoped to become.
We'll have two jump transitions on the way. You want communication there or not?
They're both just waypoints, aren't they? Uninhabited systems?
Yes, but the Ansibles are up in both right now. We might find out what's going on.
Good idea. We don't want to delay any more than we have to, but stripping bulletins from Ansibles doesn't take long. Everyone should do it, so you can each run your own analysis and we can share. Intership communication only by onboard Ansibles, no matter how close we are.
Captain?
Yes, Hugh?
Last load's coming aboard here, Captain. Last for Shara's gift is a half hour out. Mackensy's traffic control officer has given us a priority departure slot in 2.5 hours. Next after that's at 3.5. Thought you'd want to know.
Thanks, Hugh. We'd better get at it, hadn't we? I'd like to take that early slot, so this meeting will have to be short.
For another hour, they hammered out the organization of skeleton staff to be filled out once they arrived at Cascadia, then dispersed to their various ships. Kai made the calls courtesy required to the Mackensy officers who had assisted them, sent data burst messages to Stella, Grace, and Rafe, and then went to the bridge as they undocked and headed out toward the jump point. Rafe Dunbarger, acting CEO of Interstellar Communications, looked at the monitor in the central control room of ISC's detention center. The man in the security cell looked older than his official years and very tired.
All the gloss of wealth and power had leached away, leaving his face exposed, the dissatisfaction and ambition clear to see. Rafe turned to his new internal security chief. Despite the fact that Gary had been the bane of his existence when they were in school together, he had masterminded the rescue of Rafe's family. Rafe could think of no one else, other than Kai, that he trusted more with his personal safety.
You sure you got everything?
As sure as we can be. His implant was coded as self-destructive, removed, of course. But we were able to block that and examine it. Downloaded everything we could. And before we took his implant, we'd done a full panel. Except what you told us not to.
I have my reasons.
Oh, I'm sure, Sir Dunbarger. Not arguing, just saying.
Rafe watched the man on the monitor shift his weight on the narrow bed. Now came the question, the final question at the end of all the data collection. What to do with the man who destroyed his childhood and much of his adulthood, who separated him from his father? How to deal with the man who schemed and plotted and finally tried to kill Garston Dunbarger, a man who had treated him like another son? What was a fitting punishment for the man who contrived the killing of his sisters, the death of his surviving sister's husband and child?
He surely deserves death, but what death could encompass his crimes? And what about legal procedures?
Rafe had made discreet inquiries, and the answer came back that it was ISC's problem. The government didn't want a noisy, embarrassing, expensive trial any more than he did. They wanted the problem removed. He'd been told the man was a 100% liability. But Rafe had been told that about himself when it wasn't true. It might not ever be true. The man had intelligence, talents, charisma. He had earned the trust of the board, of Rafe's father. He might have been, in some way, as misunderstood, or at least as complex, as Rafe himself.
Would have been easier to kill him that first day.
True.
No matter what he did, leaving Louis Parmina alive would be too dangerous. The man was a threat, not only to him and his family, but also to ISC, Nexus, and the New Alliance. In the heat of his early rage, he could have enjoyed killing the man himself. But now his stomach churned at the thought.
You're gonna tell him?
He expects it. He's not stupid.
Well, they always hope.
I'll speak to him.
Rafe wasn't sure why he felt that he must. But he knew if he didn't, he would regret it forever.
Not without a guard.
No. I'm not stupid either. And not you. I'll take whoever's on duty in the section.
Rafe let the guard open the cell and then followed him in. The guard stepped to one side, stun rod ready. Lou Parmina's gaze flicked to the guard and back to Rafe's face.
Enjoying yourself, aren't you? Still a scared little boy, aren't we?
Cautious. You might take it as a sign of respect.
Lou put his hands behind his head. The guard shifted slightly, watchful.
Not from me. Having fun with the company. I left you a few surprises.
As much as possible.
My family
are fine.
No conjugal visit before the end.
She refused.
Parmina's wife had done more than refuse. She had gone into hysterics at the mention of that possibility.
Ah. Well then, I presume this is the obligatory so long, farewell, see you in hell session. Or are you going to go all mushy and ask why I betrayed your father's trust?
I have no interest in why you did it.
Well then, get it over with. Unless you're planning to drag it out with torture or something. I know you. You can't pretend you don't enjoy killing.
Rafe smiled down at him, holding Parmina's gaze until the man had to look down.
I ration myself.
He nodded to the guard, who opened the door and turned to leave.
You coward!
Even as Rafe spun, drawing his own weapon, the guard's stunner struck Lou. He collapsed, clawing at his neck.
Go on, sir. I'll take care of this.
Rafe holstered his pistol.
Quickly. No playtime.
Absolutely.
Rafe waited in the corridor outside. After a moment, the guard emerged.
Autopsy?
No. The family has requested no autopsy and no funeral. I'd say dispose of the body to medical research, except that he might have hidden something else nasty internally. If you can remove the implant in a secure facility, do that. Direct cremation safest. Be sure to fill out the paperwork.
Back in his office, Rafe made the necessary calls. Lou's wife cried, more with relief than sorrow, but he still felt compelled to comfort her. The daughter Lou had abused listened stony-faced. Rafe's sister Penny nodded once, then burst into tears, clearly relief this time. And his mother, on the comm, did the same. Official reaction was subdued, but clearly glad that ISC had handled ISC's problem. He felt none of the exultation he had before, only a peculiar sense of loss that he finally identified as grief. Lou Parmina was dead, and deservedly so, but he had been as human as Rafe himself. He thought suddenly of Kai and her moment of compassion for the spy they had caught on her ship. She would have understood this.
How could someone have gone so wrong?